Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the second episode of App Chatter. I'm Eric, and I'm joined tonight by Lou.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, how's it going?
It's pretty good. Glad to be here again.
Yeah, it's been going pretty well with the podcast so far. We've gotten some really good reception from the first episode, some really good feedback. So, you know, it's kind of nice to know that we're starting out on the right foot.
Yeah. People listen to us and enjoying it, hopefully.
Yeah. So next week, we're going to have a few more hosts on the show. And so you can expect the show to be a little bit longer. We'll probably have a little bit more rambling and tangents and that sort of thing. So not that we ever ramble. Or
yeah, I was going to say, we don't ramble on at all.
No, of course not. All right. Well, let's not get into rambling in this episode. Then we'll just hop right into the news. Google released a new product this week, and it's got kind of a neat little mobile app to it. So we'll talk about it. It's called Buzz.
And there's been quite a bit of buzz about it this week, too.
Yeah. See, I let you go with the bad pun this time. I didn't have to. Yeah, we'll have people hate you for the bad puns this week. So it's kind of interesting. It's different from Wave. So don't confuse it with Wave, which came out, about a month or two ago. This is a different product entirely. And it's kind of a competitor for Facebook and Twitter. Now, why would you want that when Twitter and Facebook are already so well established? And that's a pretty valid question. I like it a little bit better than Twitter in the sense that you can type more than 140 characters.
That's a plus.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if somebody asks me about a game and I'm trying to explain to them, you know, let's say Plants vs. Zombies, that's kind of hard to talk about. It takes a little bit more than 140 characters. Or a good example, what is Google Wave? I mean, that was kind of a complicated product, you know?
Yeah, you couldn't do it in a couple sentences.
No. So, you know, Twitter's nice, and I can appreciate the benefit of concise thoughts. And, you know, I am a Twitter user. Twitter definitely has its place, and I like it, but this is different. Now, it's closer to Facebook, I think, and you can do things like you can comment on people's posts, you can create posts with pictures or video, things like that. It'll integrate with Picasa and Flickr. And with Twitter, so if you post something on Twitter, you can have it set up to also post it to your BuzzFeed. And it will also grab things from Google Reader. If you share an item on Google Reader, which is an RSS reader, then it will also show up in Buzz. And I kind of like that because I'm an avid Google Reader fan. That's actually how I get most of my app news.
You know, it's also nice because it shows up right in your inbox, too. It's a button right next to your inbox button on Google when you bring it up, you know, Gmail. So it's nice to see that all in one spot. You don't have to go anywhere else.
That's the thing, really. I mean, for me, being able to have that in a window I already have open all the time, that's a big deal.
Yeah, because if you use Gmail, you typically live in Gmail.
Yeah. So I'm kind of liking it. You know, it shows up if you have new buzzes or responses to buzzes, then it shows up immediately below the inbox link in Gmail. And, you know, it's boldface with the little parentheses with how many new messages there are. So that's really convenient to be able to integrate that with something you're already using. And yet it doesn't literally dump it into the inbox. So it doesn't clutter everything up. So that's kind of nice.
And I'm assuming the one thing you really like about this, Eric, is the fact that it doesn't have all the baggage that Facebook has.
I would assume
you don't like to see all things about Farmville.
No. People who have been listening to my podcast for a long time know that I have kind of a love-hate relationship with Facebook, and it's more hate than love, I think. My thing is just that I've got a lot of people who do these little quizzes and, you know, send a flower to somebody and send a Christmas tree to somebody. And people keep telling me, well, you can block the applications. Well, yeah, you can, but you have to do it one by one. And there's like a new quiz every single day. So I can't just like block all the applications. I have to keep, you know, so 50% of my stuff in Facebook is me having to go in and block all of this crap. And it's just, it gets to be very high maintenance.
Yeah. It's tiresome.
Yeah. So I like the fact that with this, it's basically just status updates and pictures. So, and you know, I would rather have things shared to me that people see in Google Reader, because then I've got the article, I've got links, and I'm not just clicking on some little bit.ly link that, you know, who knows where it goes to.
Exactly. Yeah. I was a little worried when I see a truncated link and you're like, well, is this really spam or is it somebody I really want to see?
Right. Exactly. And even beyond that and security issues and, you know, if I'm at work, is it going to start playing music when I go to the site or some weird thing like that? It's easier just to see the item in line and scan through it. And it's right there. You don't have to click. You don't have to do that additional step of going somewhere else. It's just a more efficient process, in my opinion. Now, is it better than Facebook?
It's different.
It's different.
And I think Google's got a long way to grow with this. They got, you know, this is just the start of it, I think.
Yeah. Now, I will say this, though. It works well. Wave was a little bit, I don't know that it was buggy, but the performance was not great.
Slow.
Yeah. Nearly to the point of being unusable. And like I said, this shows, well, like you said, rather, this shows up in your inbox, basically. So you don't have to go to a different page like you do on Google Wave. I don't read my Waves anymore because I don't ever think to go to a different site to look at them, you know?
Yeah.
So considering the fact that most everybody I know has Gmail, it means everybody's basically able to use Buzz. Now, they're still rolling this out. Okay, so that being said, within, you know, however long it takes, a few weeks, a month, whatever, everybody I know basically is going to be having access to this already built into their Gmail. So I see this being pretty widely adopted.
Pretty quickly, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
But now, why are we talking about this on an app show?
Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked.
I had to feed you that one.
Yeah, see, that was a good setup. I need transitions like that because, you know. It has a mobile application. Well, it's not really a mobile app. It's a web app, which a lot of people who use iPhones kind of cringe at web apps because it's like, well, I got to go into Safari. I've got to bookmark it. It's kind of slow. And do I really want to use it? But I tell you what, this is a pretty slick web app. It's pretty fast. And, of course, you can book. A lot of people don't know this. You can bookmark things to your homepage, whether it be, oh, let's say randomchatter.com or appchatter.com. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And,
yep.
You can make a bookmark for Buzz to put in your homepage on your iPhone as if it's an application, and then it goes directly to the page. Now, it does pull it up in Safari, but it's pretty snappy. It's got it's pretty responsive.
Yep. Actually, you know, it's funny because I had access to it on the iPhone in the Google app before I had access to it in Gmail.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people have had that.
Because I was like, ooh, I want to get using this, and I couldn't do it online. Mm-hmm. And I opened up the Google app on the iPhone, and sure enough, it was there listed like third or fourth one down. Let you write in, let you use it. So
if you go to buzz.google.com on your iPhone, then it'll let you into the app. And you can also go to that site on your web browser on your PC or your Mac or whatever computer you're using. And I believe if it's not already showing up in your Gmail, if you go to that site, you can activate it. I think.
I tried it on mine and didn't do it that way.
Okay.
I had to wait till it showed up, but on the iPhone, you can get to it right away.
Now, another thing about the iPhone is it's location aware. So it will use your location and you can add map links to the posts. And another interesting thing about it is there's a nearby feature, like some of the Twitter applications will do. It'll find nearby tweets. This is a similar type of thing. It will find nearby Buzz posts. And I don't know about you, but we're bombarded with snow here right now. And so just kind of testing it out. And I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I used to live around Washington, D.C. in a very urban and suburban area. And now I'm way more rural. And I'm still kind of trying to get used to it. No offense to you rural people out there. It's a change for me. But I thought, you know, hey, there's probably two people in this whole state that have an iPhone. But what the heck? And it was kind of interesting. I was able to see a lot of people talking about roads that were closed or accidents. One person was tweeting that the National Guard was out and some lady with her three kids went to the grocery store to get some food. And then the National Guard wouldn't let her go home because it wasn't safe to drive on the road. And so she's sitting there like, well, okay, are you going to take care of my kids? What now? So it was kind of interesting because, you know, I wasn't expecting to find that much going on around me, but I guess people are already adopting it pretty widely.
And that's pretty good.
And so it comes in handy. So, I don't know. I think that we'll probably see more and more people using Google Buzz, but I don't know that there's going to be a lot of hype past, you know, the next 2 or 3 weeks. I think it'll kind of die down in the news, but people will just start using it over time. And, you know, when Facebook came out, nobody wanted to leave MySpace.
Yeah.
So,
because they were the big dominant player in Facebook, who are they?
Right. So I think it's kind of the same type of thing. And Google, of course, has a big name behind them. So we'll see.
Yep.
Moving right along. I mentioned Plants vs. Zombies. And I think I mentioned it last episode as well. And I mention it because I have been waiting for this game on the iPhone for ages. There are two games I've been waiting for. Plants vs. Zombies and a game called Audio Surf. And I don't think Audio Surf is ever going to come.
Okay.
But
I know Plants vs. Zombies. I don't know Audio Surf, but
okay. Audio Surf is it's a PC game that you can download through Steam, and it will play things from your iTunes library or MP3s that you have, and it makes kind of a, I don't know if you've ever played a game called F-Zero, but it's kind of a that type of thing where you've got this little like spaceship car that rides on a like a roller coaster track, and it but the track is designed to coincide with the music, and there's these little colored balls on the track that you have to steer your car over, and you have to avoid obstacles, but it's so perfectly timed with the music that it's kind of cool. Anyway,
nice. Yeah.
There's a reason we're talking about that on an app show too, and I'll come back to that later on. But Plants vs. Zombies is finally coming out for the iPhone.
Cool.
Yes, early next week. I believe it's going to be on the 15th of February. It'll be coming out for the iPhone. For those who don't know, it's a PopCap game. And they've made such games as Bejeweled and Chuzzle and
Peggle.
Yeah, Peggle's a big one. And a lot of these have been ported to the iPhone. And so now we've got Plants vs. Zombies, which is awesome. It's going to be, allegedly, it's going to be $2.99 when it launches. And I got to tell you, if it were $9.99, I'd buy it. Unless there's something really wrong with the interface. I mean, okay, this is not technically a review for the app. I haven't played it yet. But unless they really messed up the interface, which I don't see that happening, as far as just the general concept and gameplay, I'm telling you, this app is awesome. So I'll calm down now. I'll stop. But next week, I'm going to have a review of it, and it's going to be awesome. So look for that. Doom 2 RPG was released this week. And I don't know, did you ever play the Wolfenstein RPG?
Not on the iPhone. You okay. know, played it back in the day.
Yeah, the original Wolfenstein was... Mm. Well, they had... For the iPhone, they released... I think it was that they released the original Wolfenstein as a port. But okay. then they also released what was called Wolfenstein RPG. And this was a turn-based... How do you define it? Is it really an action RPG if it's turn-based? But it's a turn-based thing where, you know, you can turn right or left in your position there. It's still kind of tile-based, but it's a first-person shooter that's not really a first-person shooter. So you can spin in place, and then you can move forward or move sideways. And for each one turn that you take, your enemies each take one turn. So okay. you know, if you step forward, they'll duck out from behind cover and maybe shoot you. And then you can either shoot them back or you can move somewhere. And it was pretty good. It was, I think it was about $1.99. It released a little more than that, but it went on sale or it reduced in price pretty quickly. And it was pretty okay. good. It was casual enough that you could just kind of pick it up and play it for a little bit and set it down. And yet it was in-depth enough that you could play it for a long period of time.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good iPhone game then, because I don't want yeah. something I have to play for, you know, a half hour at a time.
Right.
If I've got 10 minutes to kill, I want to pick it up and play it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You talk about RPGs, and you think about, like, the old Japanese-style Final Fantasy, you know, the early Final Fantasy games, or, you know, some of, well, they don't really have Ultima ports, but, like, the early Ultima games where you've got, like, a party of four people, and you go from city to city, and you do quests, and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. If you come back to it after, you know, playing it for 10 or 15 minutes at a time and you keep coming back to it, you lose track of where you were and what you were doing. It's just,
yep, yep.
you know, they don't really make for great mobile games, in my opinion. Of course, I guess it depends on what type of gamer you are, too. So,
true, yeah. I mean, what I want in a game isn't what everybody wants in a game, so.
Right. Well, what I want in a game is exactly what everybody wants in a game. Because I'm perfect.
Plants vs. Zombies.
Plants vs. Zombies. Yes. Well, I mean, it's kind of a two thing. Yes, Plants vs. Zombies, but also just the fact that I am infallible and awesome. And humble.
Oh, I see. Yeah, very humble.
Very humble. So, Doom 2 RPG, it's $3.99, so it's a little bit more than the Wolfenstein RPG is right now. So, if you're kind of on the fence, You might want to pick up the Wolfenstein RPG to kind of to test it out to see if you'd like that type of gameplay. There's a little bit more to the Doom 2 RPG, I think. It's a little bit more in depth. There's a digital comic that comes with it and some other little bonus things. But it looks pretty good. Cool. Again, this is not an official review. This is more of a news item. So if you've been looking for this, it's now available, at least in the U.S. store. Shape Services has put out three of their apps. They're dropping the prices to $1.99 each. And the reason I bring this up is because these are normally very expensive applications. One of them is a business card reader that's normally $5.99, and now it's $1.99. And, you know, that's if you need something like that, this is probably a good one. It uses text recognition technology by ABBYY. Most people haven't heard of them, but they've been around for a long time, and they've got good OCR technology. So, you know, take a picture of a business card and it scans it into an address book entry. Not really that exciting. But the other two applications, one is IM Plus.
Yeah, that's a very cool app.
Yes. It is one of the more popular instant messaging clients out there. And it's normally $10. So, you know, hey, for $1.99, this is a good time to pick it up. It's also
a great bargain. Yep.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's got Twitter and Skype and Facebook built in. So that's not too shabby. That's one nice thing. If you can get all of those things in one application, because especially on an iPhone, it's not like a computer where you can have multiple windows open at once. And I don't really know that, you know, as much as people harp on the iPhone for multitasking, I'm not really sure how much you would want that. But being able to have all of those different social networks in one spot, I think is great. And IM Plus has been around for a while. It's a well-developed app. And for $1.99, I couldn't turn it down. I went and picked it up.
Yeah, I picked it up myself, too. It's actually pretty good. Even all the old school stuff like AOL and Yahoo, they're all in there. You keep them all up and running. It pushes notifications to you when you get a text message. So yeah. It's nice.
Yeah, push notification obviously is a big one. So, and I guess there's a 99-cent in-app purchase that you can get that gives you speech recognition.
Have you tried that yet?
I have not.
Okay, I haven't either.
But that's interesting. I might have to look at that. And then the third application they have is called RDM Plus. And it's normally $20. And it's only $1.99. This is a remote desktop application that works for either Windows or the Mac. And now it does require a free third-party program running on your computer in order to use it. Okay, so keep that in mind. But if you're the type of person who uses your iPhone, let's say, you know, throughout your house to run your media center or something like that, and you want to go back to access something on your computer, but don't want to go all the way to your computer to do it, like it's just a quick little thing you want to do, you know, hop into RDM Plus, do whatever you need to do and hop out.
Now, besides stuff like your media browser, what else is that going to really do for you? Because I'm thinking the remote application from Apple will do your iTunes stuff just fine.
Well, yeah. I mean, it depends on what type of things you'd want to use it for. If you've got multiple computers, let's say, and especially if they're Windows machines where you don't have some of the Apple services installed, this would be useful for that sort of thing. I know a lot of people, now, granted, I'm a techie. A lot of my friends are techies, so I'm sure this has a very niche audience for it. But, you know, I've got friends with multiple computers, and one's a file server, and one's an FTP server, and one's something else. Or I don't know how well this works across the internet, but maybe it allows you to get stuff from away from home as well, in which case that would be useful. But, you know, okay. If you've got different computers set up for different things, this would make it very easy to just hop into something and, you know, and because honestly, I've had a situation before where I've had multiple machines set up and I didn't want to have multiple keyboards and multiple monitors. You know, you got one keyboard, one monitor, and you do everything else through some type of remote desktop application.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you need remote desktop on your iPhone or you'd find it useful, this might be a good way to go. But, you know, not everybody's going to need it.
And at $2, it's a steal.
Yeah. If you need it, $2 is definitely. This is the time to pick it up. But really, the gem here, I think, is IM Plus. So, and I think the prices are going to be good through Macworld. So I think it's like through, the 17th or 18th of February, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So that might be worth going out of your way to pick up. And then the last thing we've got is Opera is going to be showing off the Opera Mini proxy browser at the Mobile World Congress. Now, I know a lot of people would like browser alternatives other than Safari, at least a lot of techies. Techies are very particular about their web browsers. And I don't know, I'm kind of surprised at how satisfied I am with Safari on the iPhone. But, you know, I'm the type of guy, I like competition. I wouldn't mind seeing Firefox or Opera or things like that. But a proxy browser? I'm not sure. So for those who don't know what a proxy browser is, basically is you would use Safari to browse to the Opera proxy browser server. And then from that, you pull up web pages. It goes and fetches those web pages, and it shrinks them down into a format that's more easily readable on a mobile device. Okay, so there is that benefit. But I don't know. I mean, proxy browsers have always seemed kind of slow in the past.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's an extra step involved there.
Yeah.
And I haven't found anything, I mean, aside from the whole Flash issue, which is a whole different topic altogether.
Yeah.
I mean, Safari hasn't been bad on the iPhone. I mean, I use Chrome, you know, on the Mac and on the PC, but the browser on the iPhone has been pretty stable and pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Firefox user, too, on both the Mac and the PC as well. But, yeah, I have no complaints about Safari. And honestly, if you're going to be running Safari anyway, so no matter how fast this proxy server is, it's still going to add an extra step. And really,
You're still just running it through Safari. So
yeah, exactly. And the proponents of Opera on the PC, and I don't even know if Opera is available on the Mac, is that it's fast. It's, you know, supposed to be one of the fastest browsers out there. Well, you're reducing that by doing a browser within a browser. I guess if you really need something to rescale your websites down to size, then, you know, maybe that's great. But I just don't see it. You know, when you're reading something on a web page in Safari, if you don't already know this, if you double tap on the text in the article, because, you know, like you go to a blog and there's all the ads along the side and you got the banner up at the top and all that, and there's like a column with the actual text. If you double click on that text, it zooms in the iPhone and it fixes it to the width of the screen so it's easier to read.
Mm.
And, you know, that's always been good enough for me. I don't really see a need to go to sites with, like, special mobile versions of the site, unless it's something like Google or, you know, some type of a web service. If it's just a website.
Yeah, I mean, if the website has already formatted, you know, since you've got an iPhone or a mobile device and makes it formatted for you, that's great. Otherwise, you're right. Just tapping on the text gets you a little bit closer and you can read it and scroll through it.
I don't know. To me, this seems like a waste of effort by Opera. But, you know, maybe they'll come up with something really interesting and revolutionary.
Time will tell.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, so last week I had a question about whether or not people were using MobileMe on the iPhone and whether or not they thought it was a good purchase. And if not, what they were using instead to synchronize their contacts and their address, contact is the address book, the contacts and the calendar and things like that. And, well, we didn't get any emails in, and part of it was just because we're kind of new as a podcast, but the main problem was I kind of messed up getting the email account set up correctly. So, this was not a problem on App Chatter's fault. This was a problem on my end, personally. So, if you have sent us an email, I sadly must ask you to resend it. But we still do want to know what you guys out there are doing for data synchronization, for contacts and calendars and things like that. So, you can send us an email at podcast@appchatter.com. And the email issues are resolved. But I have a new question for you this week. My wife has, she now has an iPhone. Oh, I skipped that story. I'll come back to that in a second. She now has an iPhone.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, and so she was stranded where she works at the hospital for the last 3 days. And was kind of bored, and so was going through the iPhone to see what it can do and everything. And when she finally got out of the snow mess and got home today, she asked me, is there an app that will give me a calendar and a week view? And the built-in calendar in the iPhone, I think, will either just do day or month. It will not do week.
It's a good question. I haven't tried that.
Yeah. Now, when the iPad was introduced, that was one of the big things about the calendar feature, was that you can now do a weekly view, but not on the iPhone. So are there any calendar applications out there that will do a week view? Now, normally this is the type of thing I would go look up on my own, and I will. But since we just happen to be recording on the same day she asked me, and I haven't had a chance to look yet, once again, this is a perfect opportunity to ask our listeners what they have used, if anything. So now we have two pieces of homework for our listeners this week.
Very good.
Yeah, we're doubling up.
Now, since last week, you said your Mobile Me was running out within a couple days. So yeah. You're past that, I'm assuming now. Did you re-up, or?
I have not, but I think I'm going to. Now, again, I still want to hear from people, and, people might be able to talk me into or out of it, but I think I'm going to, and here's why. I host a website for my son through my Mobile Me account so that, family members can get updates on them and see pictures and stuff like that, and I had forgotten about that when I was thinking about whether or not to cancel it. I just happened to forget that that's where I host it. My wife and I are both synchronizing our iPhones with the same computer, so we have the same calendar and contacts and stuff like that anyway. And, I have my own calendar, and she has her own calendar, but they're both, like, calendar settings within the calendar application. I'm describing that badly. But anyway, so we figured that it would be easier for us to keep everything synchronized if we both just kind of piggybacked off the same Mobile Me account. So for that and a few other reasons, I think that we're probably going to renew it. I have not done it yet, though. I think I'm going to wait for my tax return to come back before I attempt that. And part of the reason is because I just spent what money I would have had to get that on a new iPhone.
I was going to say, the other half of that story.
Yeah. So I was out shoveling snow, and unlike the previous 2 days of shoveling snow, I thought I would bring my iPhone out there to listen to some music. So after 7 straight hours in below freezing temperatures, yes, I am an idiot.
Wow, 7 hours.
Yeah. Oh, it was rough. Our house in our driveway is like kind of down a decline. It's not really a hill, but it's a lower elevation than all the other houses in the neighborhood. And it was such loose snow and the wind was blowing so hard that where everybody else got, I think, like almost 3 feet, we must have got 5 or 6. Yeah, it was rough.
I'm laughing with you, Eric, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure you are. Right. So I was out there listening to music, and I came in and set my iPhone down and got something to eat and came back to it about a half hour later and turned it on, but I couldn't slide the thing at the bottom to unlock it. And I thought, well, that's weird. So I turned it off and turned it back on again and tried to slide the little bar, and it wouldn't go. And I'm like, that's really weird. So I tried different hardware settings, like, double tapping the home button, doing the volume up and down, turning the ringer on to silent mode and off, that little toggle switch. Mm-hmm. And everything seemed to respond okay, except the touchscreen.
Just something minor like the touchscreen, yeah.
Yeah, nothing big. Who cares about the touchscreen? As long as the other hardware buttons work, you're fine. So I held down on both the power button at the top and the home screen to do like the real power off. Mm-hmm. And of course then remembered, you got to slide that too. Mm. So that was kind of rough. So I'm thinking, oh great, I just broke my iPhone. So I was trying to figure out what to do, and I tried syncing. It synced just fine. Everything about it worked perfectly fine except the touchscreen. And I'm thinking, there's no way this can be a software issue. It's gotta be hardware. So I said, okay, all of our phone accounts are up for renewal, it looks like. So I got some birthday money, and I guess it's time to bite the bullet, and I'll go get a 3GS, and, I'll see if there's some way to get this repaired somehow, and maybe my wife can have it, and, who knows. So I went and got a 3GS, and, very excited, new case, and a new little touchscreen protector on it that doesn't have any bubbles in it. And, it's faster, and it's got that neato compass in it that I'll never use. And
I use my compass every day.
Really?
No, no,
yeah, really. I didn't think so. So, well, you know, my wife wants to do geocaching, so it might come in handy in the future. Anyway, so I got back home and I thought to myself, you know, what would happen if I wiped it and just tried all over from scratch? So I held in the home button and plugged the sync cable in. A lot of people don't know you can do that, but if you do that, if you hold down on the home button at the bottom, and then while you're holding it, plug it into a dock or your sync cable into the USB port, then it will activate it in iTunes in a restore mode.
I didn't know that.
Yes. It's a very handy troubleshooting method. So it will ask you if you want to restore the iPhone and whether you want to restore from a backup and things like that. It's kind of like hitting the restore button on iTunes, but if for some reason your iPhone seems to be otherwise bricked and it won't let you get to that point on the computer where you can click the button, then this is a way to do it. So I did a restore and it restored from the backup and, you know, reinstalled the firmware and all that, and it runs fine.
Nice.
Yeah, except
so I got two iPhones.
Right. So now my wife has my old one, but I want to know, it's killing me. Why did it not work? That's totally symptomatic of a hardware issue.
Now, had it been inside for any length of time to warm up since then? I mean, could the cold have affected it?
Well, that's what I was wondering. But there was, first of all, it was up against my skin and kind of inside my coat for most of the time. So
it should have been protected.
Yeah, it shouldn't have gotten that cold. And when I had it inside, it didn't feel cold. And, you know, again, it was otherwise completely responsive. And I even let it sit for a long time in case, well, you know, maybe it's just barely too cold to work, or there's something about the capacitiveness of the touchscreen and my finger and something like that. So I let it charge, thinking that charging the battery would generate some internal heat. You know, I let it sit overnight. No, yeah, good.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. So I don't know, but
I think that's a story you're telling just so your wife doesn't know you just bought a new iPhone and, you know, gave your old
phone. No, sadly, I'm one of those kind of guys that always goes and we consult with one another on big purchases. So, yeah, very sad. Or there'd be many more big purchases around here. Anyway, so a tip of the week for those who didn't know, if you need to restore your iPhone and the button in iTunes is not doing it for you, hold down on the home button while you're plugging it in.
It's good to know.
There you go. So let's get on to the reviews for this week. What do you have?
I've actually got three and two, actually.
Okay.
My three and two. My first one is the Gorilla Cam, and I kind of paired that up with Gorilla Mobile. If you're familiar with the Gorilla Pods at all, those kind of funky spider-like tripods for a camera or a video camera.
Oh, yeah.
They make a... It's called Gorilla Mobile. It's the bottom of a Gorilla Pod, small one, with a clip that holds a iPhone case. So you can slide your iPhone into a case, clips into the tripod, and you can put it anywhere you want to. It's great for taking pictures, great for doing, you know, self-portrait type stuff, or if you had a group of people. I use it on my steering wheel in my car when I'm parked, to watch movies at lunch, that kind of stuff. But with this, you can also get the free Gorilla Cam app. It's a full-featured camera for the iPhone. It gives you a 4x digital zoom. It gives you a self-timer, which is nice. Especially nice when you pair it up with that tripod in the stand. Things like a bubble level, so you can tell if your horizon's straight. It gives you a grid overlay if you want to, you know, get into photography and do that rule of thirds thing. You can set it so that you press anywhere on the screen, which is handy if you're taking a picture of yourself. Hold it up, just tap anywhere on the screen, it takes a picture.
Oh, nice.
It's got a lot of other features like rapid shot and, you know, three burst mode and that kind of stuff. So it makes it very easy to take a lot of really cool creative stuff. So that's the first part of the thing, two things together. And because the Olympics start tomorrow, I am also going to recommend the NBC Olympics app.
Ah, okay.
If you're into, you know, any of the Winter Olympic sports, this gives you kind of access to everything NBC has. It gives you some videos, schedules, news items, you know, kind of an all consolidated thing from in one spot. And it's okay. Free.
So, yeah, it can't be the price.
No.
Cool.
So those are my two or three.
Okay. On the Gorilla Mobile, so I know about the base of the Gorilla. It's got like a... kind of a snaky like tripod thing where you can, you know, take the legs and wrap it around a tree or the railing of a deck or, as you said, a steering wheel or something like that.
Exactly, yeah.
But the part where you attach the iPhone, does it come with a case that you put your iPhone into to hold it, or can you leave it in a case you already own and then snap it into something somehow? How does that aspect of it work?
Well, the case they give you with the Gorilla Mobile is actually, you know, it's like a half case, doesn't have anything for the screen, but it just has the back of it, and it has the clip built in that fits into the clip on the tripod.
Okay.
There's a quick clip head on the tripod. You slide it in, it locks in. You can actually turn a knob and lock it physically in place. I think on the website they show it. Somebody put it on their steering wheel of their moped for like a, you know, map application. I was like, that's kind of risky, but that's what they had shown.
Okay.
But you can buy just the case for the iPhone separately, which they've started offering after I bought this, because I originally had the old version of this, which didn't have the case. It just had like a suction cup, and that wasn't really secure. It kept falling off when I was using it. So this is nice to have that case. And if you have one of the older small GorillaPods, even for your camera that had the quick release clip on it, you can get just the case.
Ah, interesting. Okay. So this would actually replace an iPhone case if you had one.
Yes, it will.
And then it would then attach to the base for the Gorilla Pod. That's kind of cool.
The nice thing about it, when you take it off the Gorilla Pod, the clip is actually flush with the back of the case. So there's not a big bulky thing sticking out the back of the iPod. It's just the case.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because there's nothing worse than having like a case with a little, you know, a little knob sticking out of it that you would put on a... like a little belt holster or something like that.
Yeah,
I hate
those.
Okay, so that's actually kind of cool then. So that's $39 for the stand with the case.
Yep.
And then the app is free. So you could use the app regardless of whether you have the stand.
Exactly.
Cool.
And I think if you've already got a GorillaPod and want to get just that case, I want to say it's like $9 or $10, something like that.
Oh, that's not bad.
No.
I think I've got one of those GorillaPods somewhere for our camera. I might have to pick that up.
There you go. Just get the case.
Yeah, especially now that with the 3GS, obviously you've got autofocus, and you can record video and all kinds of things like that I'm still playing with at the moment. Another tip for people out there who use your iPhone to take pictures, and I assume that this probably works with most touchscreen phones that have cameras built into it. If you notice that you're kind of shaky when you're taking the pictures, rather than tapping the button to take the picture... and I assume this might also work with the Gorilla Cam with the Touch Anywhere thing. If you hold down on the button to take the picture and line up your shot, and then when you release your thumb or release your finger, then it takes the picture. And you'll probably notice that it's a bit smoother a little less jittery when you're taking the shot.
Yeah, that's a great tip. If you just hold your finger on it when you're ready to take it, just release it. Yep, that does work very well.
All right, so my reviews for this week, I have two, and it's going to be kind of a compare and contrast type of thing. I was talking about a PC game called Audio Surf, and it's a very casual game. Like I said, it's basically you are riding a sort of a space roller coaster track while you're listening to music of your own choosing. And then, you know, it creates a path and you can share it with other people and you can compete against other people's scores online and things like that. And it is a wonderful game. And there are they're not really ports of the game, but there are two games on the iPhone, on the iTunes App Store that are inspired by it, at least. The first one is... I assume it's supposed to be pronounced Ridim Ribbon. It's R-I-D-D-I-M, and then the word ribbon. So if you want to do a search for it, it's featuring the Black Eyed Peas, and it's by Tapulous, the people who did Tap Tap Revenge, and Tap Tap Revenge 2, and Tap Tap Revenge 3, you know, kind of the Guitar Hero rock band knockoffs.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And those are good. I mean, these guys know what they're doing.
They put together good apps, yeah.
They do. And so this app is $2.99, and it comes with three Black Eyed Peas songs. And what's interesting about the way they have this set up is as you're riding through the game... Well, first of all, so you've got, kind of like what I described before, you've got a track, and there are colored balls or other types, you know, squares or things like that. The track layout and graphics change from song to song, okay? So it's kind of like reskinning the game. So you have to steer your little, it's like this space age looking wheel in the middle, and you have to steer it over the track that's in the center. It's kind of reminiscent of DJ Hero in that sense. And you kind of have to, you know, lean your iPhone one way or the other. Now, what's interesting is when you hold your iPhone level, it's always in the center. So if you want to be to the far left side of the track, you have to hold the iPhone leaning to the left rather than just moving it to the left and releasing it to stay there. So that takes a little bit of getting used to, but once you get the hang of it, it's not too bad. But what's interesting in this game is it branches out. So the track splits, and you can go one way to hear one remix of the song and go another way to hear another remix of the song.
That's kind of cool.
And then the tracks converge again, and then it'll split off later during the track and converge again, and then later yet again in the track. So for each track, you've actually got, oh, I don't know, five or six different combinations of ways to listen to it as you're playing it. Which, you know, that's kind of cool. It gives a level of replay that you're not going to have otherwise.
And yeah, most you change it up every time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also kind of nice because then you don't just like memorize how the track is laid out every time you play. The tracks have easy, medium, and hard levels. Most of them have all three. Some of them only have medium and hard if you get to the downloadable content. Let's see what else. There are three DLC songs. When we say DLC on the podcast, we're talking about downloadable content, DLC. And that's something like, for example, if you had Tap Tap Revenge and you bought additional songs from within the application, that would be considered DLC. So there are three songs that you can get. Two of them are by Tiesto, and one is by Benny Benassi. And they each have, again, the branching paths and stuff like that. They're called mix paths. This game feels more like Audio Surf to me than the second game I'm about to review. And of the two, I would recommend this one. I liked it. I had a lot of fun with it. A lot of times, I play a game to see what it's like, fool around with it a little bit, and then I let it go. You know, it's, oh, okay, well, that's kind of fun, and then I never go back and play it again. And this one, ever since I've tested it out, I've been going back to it a lot. I really enjoy this game.
Cool.
Rhythm Racer from Avatar Labs is free, and it looks a little bit more like Audio Surf. Something about it to me feels a little bit more like F-Zero, maybe, an old kind of a track racing game type of thing. But it doesn't feel as much like Audio Surf to me, but it looks a little bit more like it. Basically, it's the same type of concept. You've got a spaceship that's following on a track, and there are different balls or other obstacles and such that you either have to collect or avoid as you go through the track. And the controls are the opposite of what I just described with Ride'em Ribbon. If you angle it left or right, it will continue sliding in that direction until you right the iPhone again. Yeah. So it's probably the type of control people are a little more used to, but it didn't work as well. Now, you can adjust the settings for the sensitivity of the motion control, but it didn't quite feel right. It was also less forgiving than Ride'em Ribbon was. So Rhythm Racer, I think, was a little bit more difficult, perhaps. It only comes with one song, and it is not a mainstream song, at least not anything I'm familiar with. I'm fairly up to speed with techno and all that, and I didn't recognize it. There is one additional track you can purchase for 99 cents, which is the same price as the songs from the other game as well. And that's it. So there's two songs, one's free with the game, and one you can get for 99 cents, and that's it. So it kind of feels like, well...
Wow, yeah.
You know?
Now, not a lot you can do with that.
Right. So I don't know what the replay value is going to be like. On the other hand, it is free, so... I mean, for free, you should at least check it out. You know, it can't hurt. But of the two, I would have to say Ride'em Ribbon with the Black Eyed Peas by Tapulous is definitely a better pick. Even though it's $2.99, it's got a lot more replay value. It doesn't have Open Faint like Rhythm Racer does, but it does have an online leaderboard system that you can compare your scores to other people. And, I mean, they're both well-designed games. They're both worth recommending. I think Ride'em Ribbon is going to have much more replay value, and it's going to be a lot more fun.
Sounds good. Now, is there any games like this that let you use your own music, or
No, and that's the really frustrating thing. And if you look at the comments for either of these two games in the App Store, you're going to see a lot of people who are giving it 4 stars, and they'd say, well, I would give it 5 stars if I could play my own games. Now, there are two reasons for this. First of all, I guess they're both fairly recent. I was going to say they might have been developed back before iTunes lets you access the songs. Like, for a long time,
yeah, it's true,
apps could not integrate with iTunes at all. And that's no longer the case. But I think these are recent enough. Well, I know Ride 'em Ribbon just came out. Rhythm Racer is a little bit older. But I think even that's recent enough that it should be able to access iTunes. But here's the catch. With AudioSurf, when you use a new song that's never been done before, it has to go through and process the song and analyze the beats per minute and where the song speeds up and slows down and things like that. And it builds the track in accordance with that. Like, if the song... Now, this doesn't happen with the two iPhone games I'm talking about, but in AudioSurf, if the song is at a slow spot in the song, then the ramp goes upward, kind of like you're going up a hill on a roller coaster. And then if it speeds up, then it goes downward, like you're going down a hill on a roller coaster.
Makes sense, yeah.
And the faster it goes, the steeper the hill goes down and things like that. And then it kind of, the track bumps with every beat, so it detects the BPM, the beats per minute. There's a lot of analysis it does to create the track. So the first time you do any song, it builds a data file for that particular song.
Mm.
It could be something where the process of doing that just isn't something that these apps are really ready to do yet. And the other thing is, because you would have to create a file for that, and I don't know what the data requirements for that would be. If you ended up doing that to, 100 different songs in your iTunes library, how big is the data for this application going to get? Is this going to start squeezing everything out of your iPod?
Sure, yeah. That'd be a problem.
I don't know. I would like to see that come in the future. And I think that whatever game knocks down that barrier is going to do very well for itself in the iTunes store. But I would say this is a lot more fun to me than Tap Tap Revenge or Rock Band or any other similar type of app for the iPhone. I think this is a lot more like a game to me, as opposed to just kind of, trying to tap the little things as they come down the screen. This feels a little bit more game-like.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's see. The featured review for AppChatter.com this week is Gorilla Bob. And we talked about it a little bit last week, so I won't get into it too much. And part of that is because you really should go to the website and read the review there. But Rob checked it out. It's $2.99, and it's by the same people who made Minigore and a bunch of other games that are really awesome. It's a dual-stick shooter. And Rob says it's got great graphics. It's got good controls. It is, quote, fun and addicting, to which I agree. He said that he feels the price is a little bit high considering it's easy and it's short. And, okay, yeah, I can maybe see that. On the other hand, it's also entirely possible, knowing this publisher, that they will be coming out with extras and possibly new levels and things like that. So, it is a fun game, and I can't say that I'm upset about spending $2.99 on it. But, you should go to appchatter.com and check out the review for yourself and see what you think of it. Rob's got a really good review up there. So, is there anything else you want to talk about this week, Lou?
No, I think we're pretty much all set, I guess. I don't think I have anything else new.
Cool. All right. Well, that's all I've got for this week until Plants vs. Zombies comes out next week.
And then you'll be playing all week. We won't do a show.
The whole show will be Plants vs. Zombies. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that to you guys. That would not be very much fun to listen to. And we have many other apps we need to talk about. So check back again with us next week.
It's only half the show.
Yeah, it's only half the show. Check back next week when we'll have more reviews and some new hosts. And in the meantime, don't forget to go check out appchatter.com for more reviews. And also check out randomchatter.com. where we have a bunch of other podcasts on things ranging from movies to tech to Lost Chatter is one of our big shows. If you watch ABC's Lost, we just brought the Lost Chatter show back on the air. And so go check those out at randomchatter.com. And again, don't forget to email us. Let us know what you think of the show. And don't forget about the question about the Mobile Me accounts and whether you subscribe or whether you use an alternate method. And also the thing about the weekly view for calendars. When we ask you guys to email us and interact with us, we are serious. We actually do value your input on the show. And, you know, we'd like to hear from you if you have any questions about apps, too. You know, if you're looking for a certain type of app to do a certain type of task or certain types of games, let us know. And we'll help you out. So you can contact us at podcast@appchatter.com. And that's it for this week. Don't forget to check out Plants vs. Zombies. You know, you'd think I'd get, like, a commission or something. This is pretty sad. I should stop plugging it so much until I actually play it, I guess, to be fair.
Hopefully it'll live up to everything you want.
Yeah, watch me come back next week all depressed because, oh, the game wasn't that good.
Game wasn't very good. Didn't like it.
Yeah. You know, that happened with one of somebody who's going to be a part-time host and is the primary host of Tech Chatter. His name's Brian. He got a game called Bust a Move, which I've played for ages on different consoles. And I was really excited to get it for the iPhone. I'm like, oh, man, I got to get this. And he's like, yeah, don't. It's horrible. He said, really? He's like, yeah, it's not the same. So sometimes the ports don't work as well. But check back next week, and we will tell you whether or not that's the case for Plants vs. Zombies.
Very good.
All right, so see you guys next week.
Hi, everybody.
For more great app reviews, check out appchatter.com. The songs in this episode are My Own Little World and Unlikely, both written and performed by Cell Dweller, which you can find at celldweller.com. The show is part of the Random Chatter Podcast Network, which you can find at randomchatter.com. This show is copyright 2010 appchatter.com, and as silly as a sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, take care!